to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
You think you can control me? Me? But I'm nobody's puppet. See, last week you slapped me in the face, not once, not twice, but over and over and over again. So why don't you step in the ring with me right now? Show me how big of a man you are and slap me in the face. Come on, Dan. I'm proud of what I've done to you. I'm proud of causing this little accident backstage. I'm proud of crashing that car into yours. But I'm most proud of the pain you're going to feel at Clash of Champions.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
September 7th. Oh my gosh, we're already in September. I know, it was just August last week. Holidays today, real quick. It's International Bacon Day, National Eat Outside Day, and National Trail Mix Day. So you can do eat some trail mix and do some stuff outside and have some fun like that. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire Culver. I need to make a correction from the last few weeks. Salvatore's at the garage door is not showing UFC 242 today. It's at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. It's kind of hard to get everybody there for a night of UFC fights when it starts at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. So we will not be showing it there today. But if someone wants to invite me over, the number here is 222-1280, star 1280. I would like to watch it still. Danger Boy.
Don't look at me.
I know. I thought you were the only one I know that had ESPN Plus.
Well, yeah, but you still have to pay for the full pay-per-view.
No, I thought the ESPN Plus, they came free.
No, you get the ESPN Plus fights for free, but you don't get the pay-per-view fights for free. You still got to pay for them.
Okay, never
mind. Still full price.
If anybody's out there showing it at 2 p.m., give me a call.
Otherwise, I would still have ESPN Plus.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, you know, I'm just going to play something kind of off the cuff right here before I introduce us. I want to see how this sounds.
I wish there were more.
Except for there's a commercial on it right before it starts on YouTube. But if you guys been following, okay, here we're going to go right into this and we're going to see a little bit. Here we go. Let's hope there's no bad language in this. Is there any bad language in this? Have you seen this?
I've seen it. I have no idea if there's bad language.
Well, I'll be hitting the delay pretty quick.
Chris, can we get a quick interview?
Oh, I'll give myself an interview. Isn't it funny how whenever somebody wins a world championship, there's always a standing ovation, champagne, roses, flowers, yet I got a whole backstage area filled with mutes. Nobody can believe that Chris Jericho is the first AEW champion. Pure silence. There's no thank you for Chris Jericho. There's no round of applause for Chris Jericho. But that's okay, because I got my own thank you, because I'm the first AEW champion. Oh, you see that, Bucks? Chris Jericho, the first champ. How apropos, isn't it?
Great match, Chris.
Yeah, thanks. That's all you're going to say?
Congrats, man.
Yeah, no thank you from the Young Bucks?
Okay, this goes on for quite a bit before he gets to the bubbly, and we'll play that a little bit. But let me introduce the casting crew. By the way, that was Chris Jericho, first AEW champion, heavyweight champion, former guest on the show multiple times.
First guy to lose the title.
Yeah, we'll talk. We will talk about that in a little bit. But I'll let me introduce the cast and crew. I'm the Cash Man. I'm here with Danger Boy, Double B, Brian Burke.
Good morning,
Furby.
What up?
And of course me. And we're here to talk the world of pro wrestling. And you heard Chris Jericho there a little bit. You got to hear the remix of the Bubbly remix. We'll do that in a little bit when I find it. Big news, AEW guys. What do you think? Last Saturday night, did they hit a home run?
I don't think it was a home run. It was a quality show, but I doubt like the Double or Nothing was better.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was a lot of moving parts that were changing, it seems like, before this pay-per-view started, you know, and things didn't happen, things did happen, so. We got to see also, was it the tag team champs
It wasn't the tag team, it was the AAA tag team champs switch hands. The actual tag team championship tournament for AEW starts when the TV show starts.
Okay, and we've got a couple weeks before that. But, I mean, this was the pay-per-view to start it all. We're going to have, and I think we talked a little bit about it last week on the show, how we were making our predictions. You guys weren't here. By the way, you guys weren't here. It was just Ferb and me, okay? And we were talking football for the first 15, 20 minutes, okay? You know, just because Shady McCoy was cut, but
hey, that was big news. Big news for the area. We had
that wasn't big news. It was expected. Anyone who didn't expect that has no idea what they're talking about in football.
Well, yes, but that Carl Falk came on and said that to us. By the way, so he said, you know, but you know, I mean, you know, the guy's quality enough. He got picked up before the day was over, I believe,
by his old coach.
Yeah, so
for a lot less money though.
Only $2 million less, which is surprising, being a 31-year-old running back who averaged like 3 yards a carry last year.
Yeah, but when you count the guarantee.
What
though.
Quality was out there, you know, at that point, you know, that they could have got better?
Well, they didn't need anyone in Kansas City. If they had sent someone, I mean, we're not talking football today, but
no,
Houston could have used him a lot more than Kansas City could.
True. And that's where we all assumed
but he went
going.
Back to play with his old coach because that's where he wanted to go. He's comfortable there.
I'm guessing since we started off with the AEW topic, we got Mike from Rochester here. Mike, is that what you're thinking about?
Yeah, I was just going to start with that, absolutely.
Let's go, man. So what did you think of the pay-per-view?
I thought the pay-per-view was very good. I sort of agree with you guys that Double or Nothing was a little bit better. But it doesn't mean that the show was bad by any means. I think if there was, because one of the debates they were having online was about the placement of the matches. I thought, if anything, they made a mistake by putting the Kenny Omega match on too early, and I think that match, I like the way New Japan does it in the sense that all the matches you build to them, I think that they made like a mistake with that. I think that was part of the problem with the show, because the next three matches after the Omega-Pac match had trouble following it. So I think if there was a problem with the show, that was it.
Well, that's also true, and they also need to learn, and this is something they're going to learn as they keep going, you got to limit some of these times. You can't let Omega Pac in the two spot go 45 minutes, because it's going to kill most of your show.
That's a very good point. Absolutely. I think that they tried. I said that what hurt Adam Page was the fact that he went so long beating Kip Sabian. And I think when you saw the world title match, the heat was not there past the ring introductions, because people didn't see Adam Page as having a legitimate chance to win. And it's because of what you just said. That match was too long on the previous show they had.
Yeah, it's something you learn as you go. You can't have these New Japan 7 hour shows all the time. You have to cut some of these times. And they did a good job with the previous two ones they were showing for free on Bleacher Report, BR Live there. But this one, you know, this was another one that went, you know, all told over 4.5 hours.
Correct. And that's too long. I agree, John. I wanted to call for two reasons. First, I've seen that NXT is booked through Full Sail through the rest of the year, but with AEW going to be in live arenas and mostly sold out shows with obviously more people there than in Full Sail, do you think NXT is going to stay in Full Sail that whole time?
It's going to be interesting to see what they do, because the Full Sail, they get the response they want, and that's they like that. They do get the response they want. They get the hot crowds. You don't necessarily get that everywhere. AEW is going to find that out too. The first few shows will be hot, but as you see with some of the shows, they're starting later and they're doing more efforts to get the ticket scalpers out of there to keep the tickets off the secondary market. They're not selling as quickly. The two shows released yesterday did not sell out instantly like the previous ones.
I heard they were having troubles with the secondary market in the DC show. There's tons of tickets out there.
Right. Yeah, I heard that WWE's having trouble selling tickets even for the Madison Square Garden shows because of what you just said. They overpriced it.
Well, they've been doing that for a while. They've been having trouble selling.
And by the way, speaking of tickets, they went on sale here for Rochester for October 20th this past Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. One of those days, if you got the emails, you could have got them Wednesday. But
I got one.
Yeah. They're coming. They're bringing the Raw brand here on the 20th.
And the Fiend is scheduled to be here.
Right there.
But the 20th is a Sunday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a football day, which is automatically going to hurt them, especially...
That might be... I'm thinking if that's the bye week or not for the Bills.
No, I think someone told...
I think the Bills are playing the Dolphins that week.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, so it's just like a bye week then.
Yeah, exactly.
It is a home game, though.
We're going to lose people from that. But, yeah, just throwing that out there, we'll see how they do for sales.
But the Fiend will be champion by then, so...
And speaking of another thing, tomorrow in Syracuse, if you want to go see WWE live and you're not interested in opening day of football, the Raw brand's going to be there at the On Center tomorrow in Syracuse. I actually... helped my friend who does a morning show out there write some questions for Becky Lynch. He interviewed Becky Lynch on Monday, and just to promote the event. So,
did you see her Sports Center spots? By the way, they're awesome.
She, you know, I mean, maybe that'll get her over. I shouldn't say that.
She's pretty over.
I don't know. When people are cheering, you're saying yes, yes, yes to.
That's just the modern day crowd. Every time somebody turns. They're going to cheer. It's not necessarily bad against the baby face.
Well, also, they've wanted Bayley to turn for a long time now,
exactly.
And the fact she actually did.
And it's been a long time coming. They've kind of teased it forever. They never did it. They failed to do it. Then, you know, they had the whole mockery between Banks and Bayley where they were fighting each other, and then that never happened. Then they're best friends again. Now, you got the heel version of them both as best friends. I think this is going to be perfect for what they're trying to do.
Right, I agree with you 100%. Now, the other thing I wanted to call about, and this is actually seeding into what you were just saying, I watched Raw, and I thought that there was two really good promos. I thought the Becky Lynch-Sasha Banks segment where Becky was in the ring and Sasha was on the ramp was pretty good. And then I really liked the Rey Mysterio promo backstage. And then I come to find out, like I think it was like 2 days later, that those promos were different than the other promos on the show in the sense that they were more like old-school bullet points where they didn't like script them word for word. If there's a chance now with AEW not going to have any writers and they're just going to have the wrestlers create their own storylines and create their own promos, that maybe the WWE is going to understand that they don't need these 40 writers and that they're just wasting money, I'm hoping.
Well, I mean, you got Heyman as the head writer now for Monday night. So
I think it comes down to how much power McMahon lets Heyman have.
And listen, I understand scripting a little bit because not everybody can talk.
That's what managers are for.
I know, but the thing is when you come up in the olden days, I don't remember, managers usually were tagged with like the foreign wrestlers and stuff because one, they couldn't speak English half the time.
Right.
But, you know, these guys had to get their skills out working their way up to WWE to learn how to cut those promos. And some of them don't even get to talk that are very, very good at cutting promos.
Yes, that's my thing. It's like I'll just give you like a quick example. Apollo Crews, when he was at NXT, he was not a bad promo. I'm not saying he was great, but he was not bad. That guy never talks in the main roster. And I just think that like if they just let these guys, sometimes you're going to make mistakes. You're not going to be perfect all the time, but that's the beauty of live television. I think I'd rather see the men and women make a couple mistakes every now and then than having them script insane universe and championship opportunity every chance they get. It's just a little bit, it's just my opinion at least.
Yeah, for every mistake you might get, you might catch that lightning in a bottle like Austin 316, which was completely unscripted. He made up off the cuff at the time.
Correct.
And then next day it blows up and it's, history's made. So
yes, exactly. And I just when I saw that, I was thinking to myself, because I saw that they had the head writer shakeup where Ryan Ward is now going to take a leave of absence, and they're going to have Ed Koski move from Raw to SmackDown. I'm thinking to myself, I don't know how much they pay these guys, but if they just got rid of them, they would probably save a lot of money, and it would be better for the company in the long run to just let the wrestlers sink or swim with their promos.
And then we can get Pyro back.
I was just going to hit on that actually with the whole main writers thing. I saw that switch up too, and maybe because of that, I don't think they'll get rid of the writers, but I think they need to give a little bit more leeway to some of the wrestlers. You know, just kind of like you were saying, it almost seems like they're afraid to expose them too much to mistakes. and they're trying to be too perfect, but I think in the end it ends up hurting them in the long run. If they just give them a little bit more free reign, maybe we can see some of those great mistakes that turn into things that we talk about for years.
Yeah, because the one thing I'll say about the AEW show, and I think the TV show is going to be very similar, is all the matches, whether they're good or bad, great or okay, were different. There was nothing about that show that was exactly the same. You had your Cody Shawn Spears was like a grudge match. You had the Kenny Omega Pac was like a spot fest. You had the ladder match was all the crazy bumps. And then you had like a technical world title match. And then you had a match with the Luchasaurus and a couple runs against SCU in a six-man. Like, everything was different. When I watch a WWE show, even like the best workers, they got to work in a very similar style. It's very patterned. And I think that's part of the problem.
Oh, I agree. And WWE tries to mix that up. That's why they always throw these stipulations into every match. At least they've been trying to. I mean, in the olden days, it was just regular match after match after match. That's
but
how,
you still see something different every time.
No, that's true. I mean, listen, we also, you can't forget the women's battle royale that was there too. You
yeah,
know?
That was completely different.
Yeah, so cool, man. Well, we got to go to break,
absolutely,
man. But thank
guys,
you so much
have
for
a great day.
Thank you so much for calling in. We're super excited. A lot of things changing. We did mention, you teased Chris Jericho lost the belt.
The first ever champion to lose the belt without facing someone in the ring.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about that on the flip side. And it might be not what you're thinking is what we're talking about. There's lots of news. Also, if you just tuned in to us, Undertaker was on ESPN College football.
College game day.
Just right before we came on the air.
Yep.
So he was like there. Obviously, he's a Texas fan. We found that out. But it's no surprise that's where he's from. We got to go to break on that. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
You may be monster among men. You are. This is why I love having you as a tag team partner. But to win this universal title, I slay the beast. Which, unfortunately, is something that you couldn't do.
Well, if the mountain is not going to come to me, then I am going to come to the mountain. I am heading down to that ring. And see if there's anyone man enough to pick a fight with me.
Every man who received a seat in this tournament has come out here and told you that they will be the new reigning King of the Ring. But all the lies in the world can't cover up one universal truth. And it's that King Samoa Joe sounds just right.
This is Samoa Joe, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show on 1280 WHTK. Listen and feel the pain.
What else we got?
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
Want some bubbly? Look at this stuff. Huh?
He is bruised.
A little bit of the bubbly.
A little bit of the bubbly.
Chris Jericho having some bubbly. Maybe too much bubbly. Let's talk a little bit about what we are hinting at. So Chris Jericho, if you haven't been following the news, I mean, heck, it made the Brother Wee show a couple days ago, okay? So if you caught it there, you heard that Chris Jericho...
like the chain.
He called the police because someone had stolen the belt the night he won it as he was going to a chain restaurant.
Well, he went to the chain restaurant and the limo driver was taking the luggage back to the airport because he got the wrong luggage, apparently.
Yes.
That's the story, right?
So
then when he came back,
but you don't ever check the belt.
Yeah.
You don't ever check the belt. No. So when he came back, the belt had been stolen. He left it in the limo.
That was the police report.
Yes.
The police report, the belt was stolen. Now, what really happened, and I mean, see, I think someone's going to get in trouble from this because I think they were theorizing in the police report because they really didn't know what happened to it. But this is probably what really happened in all reality is Chris Jericho left the belt on top of the limo.
Yeah, but that belt would have had to stay in the limo for quite a while to get to where it ended up.
And where did they find it?
On the side of the road on Highway 20.
Yeah. Okay. So it was pretty heavy. It probably stayed there for a while before it finally flew off.
I don't know. Those things tend to slide a bit.
It was still in the bag, too. It was still in the...
Well, the bag might stick better than the belt if it was in the bag.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but they're heavy. I mean,
I emailed Chris Jericho, and I wanted him to call in and tell us, to have him tell the story. Now, because we've heard so many theories about what happened. Nevertheless, the guy who found the belt on the roadside went to... It was in Jacksonville, right?
Tallahassee.
He went to Craigslist in Tallahassee and posted it in the found area saying he found this belt.
He thought it was a replica.
Yeah, he thought it was a kid, like some kid owned it. Yeah, yeah.
And so he posted, I should have looked him up and see, got him on the phone and say, you know, talk about how he found it. But he found the belt, took a picture of it, posted it, and then, I mean, it was solved pretty quick. So, in reality, if it was stolen, then someone might have lost it after they stole it. I can't imagine. I think someone left it on top of the car. You know, I mean, I've lost baseball gloves that way before, so I know that things like that can happen, you know? But, I mean, now, that's embarrassing. And like I said, Chris Jericho was pretty quiet on the internet for about 2 days until it was found. And then that's when the work started getting made, you know? It's like, oh, okay, we're going to write, you know, we're going to do something about this. Though he still tried to cover it up with the bubbly videos, trying to, you know, not draw attention that they actually had lost the belt the first night he won it.
I can't believe how much that belt is valued at.
And it's funny is that in the police report it said that he went to like the airport, it was like a lounge or something, you know,
the Millionaire's Club
in the airport.
Yeah.
And he was actually at, what was it again? Texas.
He went to the Millionaire's Club and then he went to Longhorn
Steakhouse. Love Longhorn Steakhouse.
And then he sent his limo driver to go pick up the luggage that he had mistakenly
switched the luggage
because he grabbed the wrong one.
Interesting. So it could have been the limo driver who left it on top of the limo and then it fell off.
Or the limo driver left his limo open and someone grabbed it while it was sitting there and he was switching out the luggage.
But the funniest thing is if someone stole it, they would not leave it on the side of the road. That's the whole thing.
If the cops were looking for it, you just toss it.
Unless they got spooked.
But nobody knew it was gone for a couple days. You know, it didn't explode till a couple days after, you know. Imagine calling your boss and say, I know I just won the heavyweight championship, but I don't know where the belt is.
I can just imagine Tony Khan's response.
Yeah, or, well, I mean, listen, Vince McMahon would have, you know, I mean, you can imagine how red his head would have got, you know. But, man, I think it's embarrassing. But I've been laughing at the videos that have been coming out since and all the people, you know.
Well, now he's selling hundreds of shirts that say a little bit of the bubbly.
Of course, because that was from the promo that he's walking backstage after winning the belt, criticizing everybody for 6 minutes in the video. You got to watch it. Go search it out on YouTube. It's hilarious because he's making fun of the, he's like, where's the party back here? He goes, like, you know, all their, like, you know, this cheap pepperoni. And he's like,
yeah, it's a classic heel promo.
Oh, yeah. He's just dirt garbage on everybody, you know. And so but I thought it was pretty funny. But, yeah, I'm sure, you know, it started becoming a work because immediately that's what people said. It's like, no, this is legit. It was gone and it was found. And I mean, you can go to that Craigslist and you probably can still see the picture up there unless they axed it. But, pretty wild, you know. I mean, is that embarrassing? I mean, you know, for the first, I mean, in the olden days, didn't like the wrestlers, weren't they not allowed to take the belts?
They had to carry the belts with them.
Oh, I thought that one time that they were the prop that moved with the show, you know?
No, that's most independents do it that way because they can't afford to replace the belts. But like WWE and NWA and stuff like that, you'd carry the belt with you. That's why you had to put down the $25,000 deposit if you were the world heavyweight champion.
I will be honest with you, that is a beautiful belt if you see that too. It looks like scales almost.
It better be for $30,000.
Yeah. So the little drama in the first AEW championship, Bri.
Just a little.
So that was some exciting news this past week. It seemed to, I mean, we had a short week. It was Labor Day week.
It was a short week, but a lot happened. I mean, there's a new superstar. I mean, that superstar shakeup. There's going to be a new draft on the second week of SmackDown.
Apparently, NXT is going to be involved in it too. So NXT is going to get people from Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, but they said they're still going to use NXT as like a feeder system. They're still going to use it as developmental. And they also, they announced on for NXT, you know, it's going to USA on the 18th of September.
Which is 2 weeks from Wednesday.
But until AEW starts in the beginning of October, it's only going to be 1 hour on USA, and the second hour is going to be on WWE Network.
Interesting.
That's...
So from 8 to 9, it'll be on USA, and they'll be on WWE Network after that.
Is that interesting. Because of something going on with USA, or just because they want to keep promoting the WWE?
No, it's because it's not head-to-head with AEW.
Yeah, they're not going head-to-head until October 2nd. So
it just seems kind of strange to me. I would just keep it all on one. But
yeah, I'd feel like you want to build that second hour before AEW gets on air.
I think what they ought to do, I guess, maybe with the first couple of the shows is, because there's a lot of people that don't watch that have the network or are fans, they might want to introduce the people. Maybe do like, you know, this is what you've missed the last 11 years in NXT, you know, and do
Well, they've already announced two matches for the first show.
Yeah.
You're getting Velveteen Dream versus Roderick Strong for the NXT North American title.
Yeah.
And you're getting Io Shirai versus Mia Yim versus Bianca Belair for a shot at Shayna Baszler.
Which, you know, that has to mean Undisputed Era has taken home all the gold that first opening night. It's got to be that way.
I tend to agree with you.
I don't have a problem with that. I mean, they have most of the gold right now as we speak.
They got everything but that title.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So,
and I think a couple weeks ago, once Fish and O'Reilly took the titles from Street Profits, I think that's the build-up to opening up the show on USA, you know, having Strong and the Undisputed Era having all the gold that they said that they would do by the end of the year.
That's you know, it's great because I didn't think they would let him do it, but they're letting him do it. So.
You know what? The best part of the whole thing is that Kyle O'Reilly gets to play the belt when he comes down to the ring again.
That's true. True. Remember, Kyle, those guys, you know, man, they've done so great since they've got there. And we're going to be starting the NXT show with a four horsemen-like group in the that will be dominating, I'm believing, the show as soon as it starts. I mean, you know, that's what they remind me of, you know, in one way or the other. They have, you know, I mean, having most of the belts and, you know, being a tight group, you know, and there's, you know, and it's more than two, it's more than three. You know, we got four guys out there, so they could, you know, they're going to run havoc. And I have a feeling that we're going to have some people coming back from injuries quickly on NXT too, like Ciampa. I think he's biting to come back.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up on that first show against AEW.
Yeah, he makes his presence known a lot. So
yeah, and even 2 weeks ago when Dominik Dijakovic came back, him and Keith Lee put on another stellar performance. That match was great. Again, they work great all the time in the ring with each other. But
where do you see a 350-pound man taking a Spanish fly? That match was fantastic.
Yes, it was unbelievable.
So we got a couple of messages. With the Bayley and Sasha situation, the women are back to being the most interesting thing on WWE TV right now, and I love that. Thoughts?
I think it's interesting, but I think the King of the Ring tournament's been more interesting, I would say.
I don't know. I'm not big on the double pins,
overall.
Because you won, both won, but also both lost.
They wanted to do it so they didn't hurt
Joe.
No,
yeah, Joe.
No, Ricochet.
No, I think Ricochet's going to win.
You think Ricochet's going to win?
I think it's going to be him versus Elias, and I heard this.
Oh, God, you're going to kill
placed
me.
Out. Earlier today, and I can completely see it happening 100%, where it ends up Ricochet versus Elias in the King of the Ring finals, and Elias gets hurt somehow, and then we have the best in the world step in, and he also becomes the King of the Ring.
Well, you know, it makes sense. It's about as makes as much sense as it was when they had the best in the world tournament, and he showed up to take on the last match. I don't have a problem with that. I don't, because it's just building up a bigger match. I think it's built, you know, I think it's, and that's great. I mean, I have absolutely no problem. I don't want it to happen. I mean, I kind of enjoyed this tournament so far because we got to see a lot of good, great matchups.
That's what I liked about it. A lot of guys who, half of used are being underused, got their opportunity to be in the King of the Ring tournament, be on TV, and people see him. So,
well, and Chad Gable is coming out smelling sweet from this whole thing. Yeah, so
I just
far.
Wish they didn't make him look like a little wuss every time someone calls him short. He looks like he's going to cry.
I know, and, Joe,
and that's stupid. They should have him get pissed off.
They need to give him a makeover. He looks like a little boy.
That reminds me, isn't that technically bullying?
Yes.
Okay. I just wondered because that WWE says they, you know, bullying is not in this business, but they're using it on TV to bully the short guy. You know,
Braun Strowman says if you don't do something his way, you're going to get these hands.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think it's always going to be a part of the storylines.
Yeah, I mean, they even brought the whole bullying thing with Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax a couple years ago, too.
True,
kind of made light of it, so.
Cool, we're going to go to break on that. 222-1280, star 1280, if you want to call. If you want to text us, please text us. There's some other news coming up. We have All Elite has their next pay-per-view main event. Since the belt has been found, there can be a main event for the belt.
They actually have two matches signed for that pay-per-view.
And we want to talk a little bit about how Ric Flair apparently is not happy with the WWE right now. He wants some money or he's suing. And we'll talk about that on the flip side. You listen to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Bit of the bubbly.
But I already showed the Flairs why I am the man. You're right. I was supposed to be you. I was supposed to main event WrestleMania. I was supposed to be on all the magazine covers, have all the fame, the money, but look at you. Lucky you, Becky. Trust me, guys. I'm doing everything that I can to put SmackDown Live and to put this division and this title on the map because you guys deserve it. You guys deserve the kind of champion that has the same recognition as Becky Lynch. And I'm going to be that kind of champion for a long, long time. And that starts at Clash of Champions when I beat the most selfish person on the whole roster, Charlotte Flair.
Hi, this is Shane McMahon, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Should we call him King Shane?
I heard that this morning, and it hasn't gotten out of my head since. It's going to happen now.
King Shane. You know, it'd be way only, I think it would be even more apropos if he could screw over The Miz in the process. Because that's how it happened last time?
Well, no, this time it would be Kevin Owens somehow.
Oh, yeah, or Kevin Owens, yes. Which
he already did.
Yeah, we're kind of building that up. Yeah, I know, yeah, 3-on-1 for one match with Elias. So, yeah, I understand that. Yeah, Kevin Owens kind of quiet this past week. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. But by the way, welcome back to the show. I'm the Cash Man. I'm here with Furby. I'm here with Double B, Brian Burke, Danger Boy, and you. And we thank you so much for listening. Please give us a call, 222-1280. You can text us that number as well if you're shy and you don't want to talk. Got a lot of stuff going on. We did tease bunch. Do want to mention that the UWC Wrestling is going on tomorrow at the Main Street Armory, September 8th. I believe it's a... You look it up for me and tell me what time the start is. I think it's either 1 or 2 o'clock start, but I think the doors open half an hour before that. But definitely want to check that out. Next week, we have the big show at the Dome. And we'll talk... Restival. It's at the Dome. It's going to be in the Dome. You've got Joey Ryan coming to town.
Yeah, it's an all-day event, too. There's all sorts of stuff going on beforehand.
Yeah, so you got wrestling. If you're not a football fan and you want to watch wrestling in Rochester, go to the Main Street Armory. If you're not a football fan and you want to watch WWE wrestling tomorrow, go to Syracuse, the On Center. And then 1 week from today is the, how do you say it again?
Restival.
That'll be going on at the Dome Arena. It's a full day event. They have vendors there. They have matches. They're going to have matches all day, apparently. And hopefully we'll get somebody up here maybe next week to talk with us about it a little bit. You know, Joey Ryan's like, I think he's in the main event there. So if you ever seen Joey Ryan wrestle, you might remember. I don't know. He's got a lot of controversy online.
He's working with Impact now.
Is he? I was going to say, ask Jim Cornette about him. He'll tell you what he thinks about
Joey.
Yeah,
Jim Cornette does not like Joey Ryan.
But we did tease heavily going into break about some stuff. One of them was being the All Elite next pay-per-view, which is going to be Chris Jericho and Cody, now that Chris has got the belt back, in the main event of a Full Gear pay-per-view. It's going to be held November 9th in Baltimore, Maryland at the Royal Farms Arena. And they'll be a month into their show on TV. So we'll see what kind of crowd that draws. What was the other match you said that was already
announced? The other match is going to be Moxley versus Omega that we missed out on this past weekend because Moxley's hurt.
That's right. And so good. Definitely want to see. I mean, Omega, the better man, going down for the pin against Pac last weekend. And Pac comes out in, with like fury on fire. I mean, the dude was great when he was in the WWE. So, I mean, you know, he's, it's good to see him back out there. And I mean, he's a, you know, funny thing is Pac is a so much better style kind of wrestler for Omega to wrestle, I think, than, Ambrose. But Ambrose, I'm sorry, not Ambrose, Moxley. But Moxley is, Moxley looking good though. He's coming back. He'll be ready to go. Super excited about that.
Yeah, should be good.
Any other thoughts? What's going on with AEW? I mean, their debut show is coming up. It's less than a month now.
It's exciting to see what's going to happen with the Wednesday Night Wars.
I don't. Yeah, it, to me, it's just amazing that WWE is counter programming against something that's not even there yet. You know.
Well, so the AEW had the countdown show that they did on the Friday night before.
Yeah, it was a week ago yesterday.
It was a week ago yesterday.
Yeah.
That they had literally promoted and knew about for 2 days. I mean, they probably knew longer because they had to put the show together.
Sure.
But it was only announced 2 days beforehand, and it still drew 350,000 people to watch it.
Wow.
On TNT. And everyone's like, oh, that's not that many. You had 2 days' notice.
Yeah, I was going to say. And they didn't really tell you what it was going to be. It was in the, if you looked in the, in your guide, it was in there. Because I had said to record, like, within 2 weeks, you can get it on the guide. So, but, yeah, didn't really say what they were going to be doing. It was a lot of sit-down interviews. JR was on that a lot. It was, you know, it was a good show. It gave you a really good warm-up. They probably should run it before they start AEW again. Just give them a warm-up for who's in this company, because they really do kind of go through and show a lot of people that you may not know or you may not remember as this name, you know, what
they're... Well, I think they're gonna catch on a lot of stars really quickly that, that people don't expect. Like, we found out this week on Chris Jericho's podcast, the hottest-selling T-shirt over the last month for AEW is a boy and his dinosaur, the Luchasaurus. And Jungle Boy shirts.
Yeah.
Because that team is awesome.
It is.
They're fantastic.
Yeah. I wish they would get rid of Marco Stunt, but that's just me.
I was going to say, you know, and I have a lot, you know, that's Luke Perry's son, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so.
And if you look him in the he did a lot of before announcement press for them, because he's going to be a focus for them because he is Luke Perry's son.
Yes.
He's still
but
very
he's got
young.
Pat Dinosaur. Yeah.
Yeah. He's only 21. He's still very young. He still needs to fill out a bit. But if you look at his face in a lot of those shots, he looks just like his father.
I love it how his dad supported him and went to all the shows that he was on out there in California. And I mean, grew up a wrestling fan. Luke Perry did as well. And it's pretty cool that, and they're giving him a chance. And I think that he, you know, he's doing it through, you know, working through the minors on his way up. You know, it's like not a lot of guys get signed to the WWE training center and immediately go there. And that's their first experience in wrestling. You know, I mean, or a lot of guys do, to be honest with you. You okay, Peter? Okay. You don't even need a cough switch. You have to do the whole room over there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I was going to say, you know, but we did tease another thing, too. We thought that's going to be – we teased Ric Flair, and Ric Flair's not happy because WWE is using the man.
Apparently he doesn't make enough on his legend contract and all the appearances that he does.
He has four divorces. Yeah. He's got to pay somebody.
Well, whose fault is that?
Yeah, I know, but I mean,
think his personal house is also in, like, foreclosure or something as well. Because he's been living wife's ex-house.
I didn't say
his
it.
His wife's house.
I didn't say it. I don't want to get sued by Ric Flair, but no. I mean, listen, that saying is used in football every year. That saying used in every sport you can watch, even in UFC.
So, and they've used it previously.
I've used it millions of times.
They used it for Seth Rollins for a long time, and he didn't say anything about it then.
No, so, but because she comes out and she's... Well, I think what it was is they wanted to copyright the man, and that's really what kind of set Ric Flair off. And Ric Flair's like, hey, well, where's my residuals? Because, you know, to be the man, you have to beat the man, and that's where it came from, you know? I don't know. I'm a Ric Flair fan, and I know that, you know, and I think he does deserve something, but I mean, I don't know. It's really tough to figure out rights on words, you know? To me, it's kind of, I don't know, what do you guys think? 222-1280, star 1280. You can text us as well at that number. Tell us what you think about Ric Flair. And I don't know if the lawsuit started or not yet, but I heard that it's not far. So it's like, I mean, he talked with TMZ. There's a video on their website saying about how he wants to get his money. And I don't know. I mean, you know, of course he wants his money, you know, because he has four divorces or whatever. So, but I thought it was an interesting story. I the thing is, it's causing some heat backstage.
Yes.
And then that's the one thing. I mean, I don't think he ever intended that to happen, but because
Well, he went public
Ashley,
with it.
Ashley's his daughter, you know, and she wrestles for SmackDown. I'm sorry, Charlotte, whatever, you know.
Way to break kayfabe.
Yeah, oh well. Yeah, it's okay. Well, you know, there's, you know, and it's funny how this past week Becky Lynch came out and referenced the Flairs directly about how she had put she'd put them down already on her way to where she is.
Well, on Monday she gets the tag with Charlotte against Sasha and Bayley.
Someone just asked me, did you see the tweet from Ciampa to Riddle yesterday telling him to go do something to himself, real or work? I don't know.
Work.
Well, I mean, Ciampa's got to come back, and Riddle's rattling everyone's cage. It's not just, you know, it's everyone's cage is getting riddled, you know, rattled by Riddle. There we go. Get that Twitter name down. Rattled by Riddle.
I think you're going to see him get a major push when they start putting on the...
Of course.
On USA, because I think he's one of the guys they have earmarked for big things in the future.
I don't know. I look at him, he's so thin, and I don't know how he doesn't get hurt doing some of the stuff he does every time. Like, you know,
he's fantastic.
You know,
I don't like wrestling with no shoes on, though.
No, me neither. That's another thing, too, is like, if he lands in the crowd, you're going to have his feet in your face. Now, some people might like that, but no, not so much, you know?
All it takes is one injury, and then you end up in boots, just like Rusev.
Exactly. Yeah, I was gonna say that's you can come out and yeah, it's kind of like Fran Tarkington was the best scrambling quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings in his time, and then one time someone hit him and he broke something, and then next thing you know, Fran Tarkington doesn't scramble anymore. You know, same kind of thing with the boots.
Yeah. Just like RG3.
Well, I mean, remember Kerry Von Erich used to not wear boots until he lost half a foot, and then he had to wear boots, or you'd see he had half a foot. You know. So we're going to 222-1280, star 1280. It looks like Ken Shamrock is going to – we talked about it, I think, a little bit last week, how he's going to be coming back to Impact. He was the very first Impact champion. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, but now they've got a set date for him to return, which was this past week for their TV taping. So you're going to see Ken Shamrock, if you can find Impact Wrestling. That's the question.
He's going to be – I think at Bound for Glory, he's taking on Moose.
He's taking – oh, that's right. And Moose is the one who I guess he had some problems with it. Wrestleville is champ just rose. Restival, I gotta say it correctly, is at the Dome in 7 days. So, but UWC Wrestling is tomorrow at the Main Street Armory. And did you ever find the times on that, Danger Boy? I was looking at you. So, we'll figure that out during the commercial break. Come back and let you guys know, and we will
probably right around kickoff.
That's one thing. It's yeah and. Listen, we're playing CM Punk's. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about Punk's question and answers last week. Have you been following those?
I have not.
Okay, 222-1280, star 12 is the number. We'll be back right after this.
And you're listening to the Pain Clinic on Sports Radio 1280 WHTK. Listen and feel the pain.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man here with Furby, Danger Boy, and Double B Brian Burke. And that coughing sound in the background is Peter Burke. Sometimes you might see him on the video too. I did a different video. We're doing Facebook Live right now. I'm streaming from behind Danger Boy's head, so you get to see his bald spot.
There is no bald spot.
Okay, you get to see his bald spot. You paint your bald spot. All right, so Brian, you know when this is?
Yeah, so Saturday, Sunday
tomorrow. Yeah,
tomorrow. I'm gonna guess that the doors open at 1 because start time is 1:30. So okay. If you're not a football fan, you're not watching football, go down to the Armory. Or if you're a bigger wrestling fan than football fan, and Underworld Champions 2, 130 to 430.
Tomorrow. We have Super Cop Dick Justice taking on HC Loke in the main event.
Yes.
So, yeah, we got that going on tomorrow, so you definitely want to check that out. And then, like, a week from today, Restival. Yeah, I'll just say, you know, we could have called it something else, but Restival sounds good. You're going to have, like, and Joey Ryan's in the main event, so we're going to, that ought to be, I think it's a main event. There's a lot of matches going on that day.
They still got tickets available. I was just looking it up. They got $25 general admission. It looks like they got some assigned seating left as well, $30. Get your tickets.
The Dome is a cool place to go see anything. If you had, like, roller derby there was great. Indoor soccer, and I think wrestling will be great too. They've got the colored lights in the ceiling, as well as they painted the entire dome black on the inside. So it kind of makes your eyes focus on the center of the room when the lights are pointed that way. So I definitely think that was that's one of the good changes they did there. That and hiring Jeff Calkins didn't hurt at all either. What's up, Andrew? Andrew, the Authority Joseph is in the studio here with me. Hold on, I can figure out which mic you're on. Is this one?
Yes, it's this one.
All right.
And I won't even ask for my bump.
I'm not going to give it to you anyways.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Do you remember the original show at the Dome Arena back in 1989? Were you there?
I was not.
WCW, Ric Flair versus Terry Funk for the NWA title. Sting against the Great Muta. Unbelievable.
I remember seeing the NWA at the Blue Cross Arena when they had the Twin Towers wrestling. I can't remember who they wrestled, but we went there. We saw, and I think Ric Flair and Sting were there.
Right. They couldn't do the Blue Cross Arena because WWE had the license for it. So they went to the Dome, the old Dome, and the place was packed. I mean, since Ric Flair against Terry Funk was just, it was unbelievable.
So you might want to get the, you know, maybe they'll be like, you know, they'll be channeling those vibes when they're wrestling next.
It was 30 years ago.
That's crazy.
Incredible.
Thanks for making me feel old, Andrew, the Authority Joseph. And just for that.
If you're old, then I'm.
You will respect my authority.
If you're old, then what am I?
Older.
Dead.
No. You're not bones, that's for sure. But yeah, that's crazy. You know, the Dome actually, in the some of the side buildings, they used to have WWE wrestling.
Yeah, building number two used to have their weekly or monthly traveling show.
Yeah, that's where Kearney the Cat Ladd used to wrestle in town here. Goodness. Yeah, we're talking.
My dad has stories of getting Bobo Brazil's face.
Yeah.
Cash, I got a little more information about Restival.
Okay.
So there'll be appearances not only by Joey Ryan, but Sonny Kiss, Felicia Rose, and the Razor Sharks. There'll be some of them there. There's going to be a beard competition.
Okay, is that why you guys aren't? Oh, that's why Peter's got that thing going. Right? You're looking all Amish and everything.
Why does he Finley get body slammed?
Peter wants Luke Harper back. That's why he keeps growing that beard.
We all want Luke Harper back.
Exotic Animal Zoo, some tuner cars, a skate demo, a bounce house, dunk tank, lots of things for the kids and for older people. So it sounds like there's going to be, it's wrestling and a festival. I think that's how they came up with
Exotic Festival. Exotic Animal Zoo. It sounds like a faction.
Yeah.
The filthy animals. Yeah, from WCW.
The Exotic Animal Zoo is here to knock some heads.
Lots of vendors.
That sounds pretty cool. That's next year. So hopefully we'll get someone up there. If you guys are out there listening, anybody, please, we will definitely get you guys.
I think I'm definitely going to check that out after the show next week.
Yeah, definitely. And then tomorrow, of course, like we said, UWC is going to be at the Main Street Armory.
It'll be interesting. So, really quick, we got Raw and SmackDown from Madison Square Garden this week. They're having issues selling the tickets, and apparently they had a big creative meeting for Raw yesterday where Vince McMahon pretty much told them they have to get super creative for this show. So they're expecting something large to happen. Possibly, I'm thinking, you know, there's a certain individual who's been taking out Hall of Famers, and there's a certain individual who's a Hall of Famer who's moderating a title contract signing.
Well, and also suggesting the lights are going to go out during the contract
signing?
And
that contract signing is also for a title that this individual who beats up the Hall of Famers has been rumored to be going after and actually acknowledged last Monday.
And we will say that this Hall of Famer who's going to be there has been alleged to be signed back to Raw to be part of the show for a while coming up. So it's not just going to be a one-time appearance. That's why I'm guessing something big is going to happen during this the signing of the contract. I don't know if they're not going to start the show with it, obviously.
No, I would close the show with it.
Definitely.
And real quick, too, just going back about The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, How great was the little segment on the Firefly Funhouse?
Oh, that was awesome.
When he shoved the money down the puppet. That... Vince
Hang on, boss. I got something for you.
And then if you notice, the rabbit has the help me sign. He just pushes the rabbit down.
Yeah, he just shoves him out of the way. And then,
Ramble and Rabbit is... I feel bad for him.
I'm guessing you're still going to need the Funhouse every once in a while.
Well, how great would it be if this match that is going to take place at Hell in the Cell is actually that Bray Wyatt instead of the Fiend?
Interesting.
It's Mr. Rogers Bray Wyatt.
A Firefly Funhouse match.
Yeah, Firefly Funhouse. That'd be great.
The puppets get in. Do runs.
I'm hanging at the top of the cage.
That'd be great. Okay, we got to get out of here. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week here on Fox Sports 1280.